And at that time, I said I would share part two when I came next. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. Well, last time we learned about the first four of the Ten Commandments, and then we looked at how Jesus said there are actually just two commandments that we need to follow. These two commandments encompass all 10 of the commandments given to God's people through Moses, as recorded in the Old Testament. So we focused on the first of those two commandments, which Jesus called the greatest commandment. We learned that Jesus said that we are to love God in four different ways. We are to love God with our heart, which is our spirit. We are to love God with our soul, which is our emotions and our feelings. We are to love God with our mind, our intellect, our imagination, and our reasoning. And we are to love God with our strength, the physical living out of all that we believe and are. So today we're going to move forward. We're going to examine the second commandment that Jesus told the Pharisee who was trying to trick him in order to get Jesus in trouble. Before we do, though, let me pray as we begin. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together. We thank you for the beautiful time of worship and of reflecting on truly how much you love us and how you call us to love you and to love your people, all people. Holy Spirit, we ask this morning that you would come, that you would fill this room, that you would fill each of us, that you would teach us. Help us to listen and help us to live out what you teach us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you would turn in your Bibles to Mark 12, 28 through 34. Mark 12. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Well, I think this is a very appropriate time to talk about loving others. As we have just observed Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and as we approach Valentine's Day, to me, these are both days to show God's love to others. But what does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? Well, I think first of all, we have to ask ourselves, how do we love ourselves? And I think most people do have a strong desire to survive, to take care of themselves, to do things that make them happy. They have they value who God made them to be. But it is also true that all of us go through times where we aren't so sure that we do like ourselves, especially, I'd say, during adolescence. And some people struggle with that most of their lives. But most people, when you get down to it, do love themselves. If we will accept the great, great love that God has for each one of us, this agape love that is forgiving, self-sacrificing, never-ending, we will realize that we are God's unique and beloved creations, and we will love ourselves, and we will love others. Next, if you would turn to Psalm 139, beautiful, beautiful passage, Psalm 139, 13 through 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Wow, we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God, our Heavenly Father. So again, shouldn't we love ourselves and shouldn't we love one another? Matthew 10, 29 through 31 says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father in heaven. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Well, next we're going to look at the last of the six of the Ten Commandments. So if you would turn to Exodus 20, and we'll look at verses 12 through 17. Exodus 20. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So we read here that if we truly love others, we will honor our parents and those in authority over us. We will not murder or harbor hate toward others. We will not commit adultery or harm others. We will not steal others' property. We will not give false testimony or lie about others. If we truly love others, we will not covet what is theirs, their home, their spouse, their family. We don't have oxes or donkeys, but their car, their jobs or status, or anything they have. Instead, we will be happy for them, for the things that God has blessed them with. And we will be content with what God has blessed us with. That is what it means to love others as ourselves. In fact, if we truly love others as ourselves, we will be willing to share our lives and what God has given us with others. You know, sometimes that's pretty difficult to do. When Mark and I were just young adults, which now is a long time ago, my father gave us 8 acres of wooded land on the back of his farm. Well, we were able to build a nice home, and we had to do quite a bit of the work ourselves, and we had 2 of our 3 kids. I still remember I'd be over there working, and I'd have 1 kid in a backpack and 1 kid in a front pack, or 1 kid hanging on my leg. And they were really little, so it was challenging, but what a blessing to have this beautiful home. Well, not very long after we moved in, we had a harvest hayride and then a party at our house for our church youth group. Well, about 25 kids showed up, and it was all I could do to not fall apart when they tracked in hay, mud, food. We had a game that we had a college student that was helping us. He brought shaving cream. I'm like, oh my goodness. So all this is coming into my brand new house, and I was just panicking. And I can just remember God telling me, stop, Betty Jo, stop, calm down. He said, you know what? I blessed you with this house, and you're supposed to share it with others. Wow. Talk about a clear message. Did I love those kids or my home more? Where were my priorities? Was I willing to love others with the agape love of God? Well, over the years, we have had many, many children, youth, adults, eating, playing, tracking through our house. We've also had many people come and live with us for anywhere from several months up to 4 years at a time. I never dreamed we would do that. We've had foster girls, college students, young adults who suddenly didn't have a place to stay, exchange students, our kids and grandkids when they come, and several young men who were coming out of drug and alcohol treatment programs. Well, Mark really enjoys having extra people around, but it puts a lot of stress on me. And my life is very, very busy. So I'm kind of happy just having a nice, quiet, clean house. I was a dental hygienist for 40-some years. I like clean. But last spring, Mark decided to put an ad on Craigslist. Now, we've never done that. We've always just gotten these people, I don't know, they just show up on our doorstep and stuff. But he puts an ad on Craigslist, and it said that we had a bedroom for rent. Well, he received several inquiries, and he was like, no, 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 that won't work. Well, then he was contacted by a young man named Ryan. And I've shared here before about our youngest son, Scott. Well, Ryan was a single dad of a daughter, Emmy, who's 9 years old, and our granddaughter Grace is 8 years old. Ryan's wife left him for another man, just like what happened to our son, and Ryan was suddenly given notice that he needed to find a new place to live. Well, again, I really didn't want someone living with us at that time, but God reminded me that when our son Scott was in that very same situation and could not find a place to live, I began earnestly praying that someone in his church would open their home to Scott and Grace. And a couple did within days after I started praying. Well, God had answered my prayers, and now God was saying that I needed to open my heart and home to Ryan and Emmy. Once again, a very clear message from God that I needed to obey. So Mark called Ryan, and we arranged for them to come over for lunch on a Saturday. And I told Ryan this story, And I said, that's why we're going to say yes to you living with us. Well, Ryan got really teary, and it opened a conversation about God and about going to church and about how Ryan needed to let God back into his life. He said he had been ignoring God for years. He'd never taken his daughter to church. And he said, I think this is going to be good for us. Well, Ryan and Emmy have now been with us for about 9 months, and they actually started attending our little Scotts Mills Friends Church. They tried several different churches, but they just felt at home there. Well, last month, I couldn't hold back my tears as Ryan stood in front of the church and read the reading for the last Sunday of Advent. And then he and Emmy lit the Advent candles. God is working in their lives as they open their hearts to the Lord. And that might not have happened if we hadn't said, yes, you can come and live with us. When we obey God and love others with his agape love, people can see that God loves them too. 1 John 3:16-18 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So I would ask you, how is God calling you to love others? Listen. Obey God's nudges and leadings. Love others just as God loves them. I want to tell you one more story this morning about how a group of people poured out God's love to a couple who desperately needed it. I'm using fictitious names, but this is the story of Tony and Maria, a Latino couple who are Spanish-speaking only. I think most of you know I'm a chaplain at a small hospital in Silverton, Oregon, Legacy Silverton Medical Center. Well, Tony and Maria came to our hospital, and she was in labor. She was basically full term, but her labor wasn't delivering very quickly. She was admitted, and they were monitoring the baby. Everything was going well, but she just wasn't progressing. So finally, they said, we're going to have to do a C-section. The baby had a heartbeat and everything, but when the baby was born, he wasn't breathing, and he never took a breath on his own. Well, Tony and Maria had no children, and they had already lost one baby. So as soon as the baby was, taken surgically removed through the C-section, the baby was rushed to our nursery. They called everyone you can imagine down to our nursery to work on this baby. Doctors, nurses, respiratory therapists, lab people, pharmacy people. We have the telemedicine neonatal specialists on a monitor who are, working with them. And this little boy is just not responding. Well, meantime, I was there, and I had an intern chaplain who I was mentoring, and he is from Mexico, Spanish speaking. So we were paged and went down, and the husband father was going back between the operating room with his wife and to the nursery with the baby, and it was really intense. He was just overwhelmed by everything that was going on. Meanwhile, they called PANDA, which is the neonatal and children's specialist team from OHSU, and they started down on their way. When they arrived, they felt like our team was doing an amazing job, and they just kind of stood back and said, "You're doing everything you can. We're just going to stand back and be here." This went on for 2 hours that they're trying to save this little boy. Meanwhile, Manuel and I are mainly with Tony, and the doctor is like, this little boy isn't going to survive. And so we help the doctor explain this to Tony. By then, Maria was in a room recovering, and they started talking to her also about it. It doesn't look like this is going to work. Maria especially was just like, no, 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 keep doing everything, keep doing everything. So another hour, and meanwhile, Manuel and I are talking to Tony and Maria and trying to help them understand and accept what's about to come. Well, the staff, especially the nurses in our family birth, they're amazing people. They didn't want to leave. Like when it was time for the their shift to end, they're like, you know what, I'm staying. I can't leave them now. So it was just amazing watching the doctors and nurses pour out love and concern for this couple and their baby boy. We spent time crying with them, reading scripture, holding their hands, comforting them, praying for them. It was so, so hard for everyone to watch them grieve the loss of that beautiful baby boy. He was perfect, he was beautiful, but he just couldn't breathe. Meanwhile, Vanessa, a young Latino woman from the lab, was called down, and she was doing some translation too, and she told Tony and Maria about her church in Kaiser, Oregon, part of Salem, and it's called Agape Church, and they said, you know, we don't have any church. They were living in the garage of some relatives. They basically had no money. Once they realized this baby isn't going to live, and they stopped all life support. At first, it's really hard to talk about, but at first, Maria didn't really acknowledge that he wasn't alive. She still thought he was alive, but he wasn't. But anyway, after a while, we started talking to them about this church would be willing to help them have a memorial service for this little baby. As we found out more about their situation, I felt that we were to start a fund for them. And so I got permission from the department manager, and I got a big manila envelope and wrote on it, and I stuck some money in. And in 2 days, the family birth people gave $800 that we were able to give to that family. Over the next, she was in the hospital a couple days because of the C-section. We spent a lot of time with them, and she didn't want to go back to their little room in the garage with all the baby things, and so I arranged to go pick up her things, and they donated them to the hospital. Maria told me that she had raised a lot of the money. She didn't have a lot of things, but what she did have, by picking up cans and bottles along side roads. Well, a week later, we did have the memorial service at Agape Church. The main doctor came, 10 of the nurses, myself, and many of the people from the church who'd never met these people before. We had beautiful music, a message of hope, prayer, lots of hugs and tears. And God's love was poured out on Tony and Maria. Maria's a tiny little thing, and I'll never forget. She hugged me goodbye and said, mi pastor, and just thanked us and thanked us. Well, the Agape Church members continued to reach out to Tony and Maria. They did find out later that Tony wasn't who he seemed he was and was not a good man, but they have reached out to Maria and continue to pour out God's love on her. That is how we love others as ourselves. That is how we love God and we love his people, with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And yes, it is sometimes hard. Sometimes it's pretty inconvenient. Sometimes it's messy. And sometimes it's painful. It's hard. But it is what we as Christians are called to do. If you would turn to 1 John chapter 4, I'll read this as we close. 1 John 4, 7 through 12, and then 19 through 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And then 19, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. You know, God does not give up on us. The Bible says that he will leave the 99 to go find that one lost sheep. God loves us so much that he loves us even while we are yet sinners. Jesus said, second commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself. So may we live that out each and every day. In closing, I'm going to have them play a song by Corey Asbury titled Reckless Love. And I've heard some people say, you know, I don't like that term because they don't think that God can be reckless. But this song explains how God's love is overwhelming, never-ending, and reckless because we don't deserve it. Yet God pursues us and pursues us. So may we also love God and others with that overwhelming, never-ending, reckless kind of agape love.
Before I spoke a word, you was singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go in peace.